Dr. Fink is an associate professor and epidemiologist at the University of Toledo. He has worked with Dr. Paul Rega for past several years in developing the curriculum that incorporates emergency and disaster medicine into traditional public health pedagogy. While being an author on multiple publications and abstracts related to this work, he is working with Dr. Rega and others to create a certificate program for public health students. Dr. Fink.
Thank you very much. So this is a little bit different than what you've had thus far. I forgot my slide on whether or not I'm legal, but yes, I am indeed legal. I have no disclosures. This is actually through the University of Toledo. What I'm going to talk to you about is kind of we're putting in more medical and kind of immersive education for public health students into our curriculum. And so what you're going to see here is kind of a mesh of what we've done in various classes. And starting in January, we're going to have an interprofessional class involving physicians, nurses, PAs, pharmacy, emergency medicine residents, MPH students all together in one particular class. So our premise basically in putting this into our curriculum is that in the event of any sort of a catastrophic disaster, whether it be a hurricane, an earthquake, a tornado, blizzard, flood, et cetera, that public health professionals might volunteer or they might be needed to help in the response to a crisis, and in this case perhaps provide basic medical needs like splinting or tourniquets, things like that, which were used even at the Boston Marathon. So having the premise of really trying to provide practical skills that public health students can use acutely when something bad happens can be really, really useful than kind of the traditional education most MPH students tend to receive. So I kind of go ahead of myself in my slides, but you can kind of again see where this is going, that we're again looking on at the training issues, providing them practical skills and emergency and disaster preparedness and response training. So we now have, as part of our curriculum, we have a pandemic preparedness course, we have a disaster preparedness course, and the interprofessional one that starts next spring. So I tried to put in a lot of pictures, at least so you could kind of get a glimpse of this. This is actually from the teaching standpoint. This is my Issues in Public Health course for all MPH students. So it's a core class that every student takes within the program. And as part of this class, through about the first half of the semester, I had my class broken up into four individual groups, each representing an actual county. In a tornado, they were in Kansas. So I picked out actual counties in Kansas, and they had to basically research. I gave them some information on emergency operations planning and things like that, but they had to basically research what they would do in the event of a tornado hitting their community, if it wiped out a hospital, if it wiped out emergency response, what would they do? So they had weekly tabletop exercises, planning alternative care sites, pods, things like that. So it was very immersive, interactive. And then this actually happened just a few weeks ago. They had their actual the tornadoes hit, they received news reports, and so you can see on the right here, they're in their incident command room. They're writing down basically their responses to the tornado, what they need to do, and then also as part of the course, they received some training on incident command system structure, so they had to go through FEMA, take the ICS 100 course, and we also taught them about triage, SART, or SALT and START triage. So you can see on the left there, we've got some of our students, they were victims, and they had health information on them, and they were basically then coded, red, yellow, green, or black. And we had a few of kind of the red victims that were just kind of running around causing chaos, that were screaming and yelling. It caused quite a stir among, because we were in their simulation center, but people were still working, so they were kind of wondering what was going on, but it was pretty interesting. So this really got them more exposed to, real-life scenario. Some of the other things that we've incorporated into our courses, basics like suturing, splinting, even ocular exams, more on trying to help remove foreign bodies from the eye. So we've even helped the students kind of work with the slit lamps, if you're familiar with those. I might have a picture later on in that. I already talked to you about triage, hospital evacuation, which we'll go into in a little bit later. That's Dr. Rega there actually lying there on the floor. He was kind enough and brave enough to volunteer to put himself within the sheets while they dragged him downstairs, which is a little bit scary. But So who's involved in this beyond the students? We have faculty involved, public health. We have emergency medicine as well as emergency medicine services, paramedics, EMTs, nursing, pharmacy gets involved as well, physician assistants. And so that's really the whole point is we're trying to create it as interdisciplinary as possible so you can see every perspective along the way. And a lot of our public health students wind up going on to PA or med school, nursing school as well. So it's a really good way to help mix during their MPH curriculum. And I should have put a link here. This is our new Interprofessional Immersive Simulation Center, which is used. They have all sorts of mannequins that can manifest, you know, medical procedures, physical symptoms. You know, you can do CPR and work with AEDs, all sorts of things. So we use this building quite a bit. It's a great way to get all the disciplines together in one building. So a few more pictures here. So you can see I probably should have my other hand closer to that bag valve there to just bag the patient. So caught me at a bad time. But just going through CPR while doing the bag valve mask. I'm in the lower right here. Jeff, he's a paramedic in the blue. So he was helping to teach students in terms of, in this case, intubations. So opening up the airway. So really exposing public health students to things they wouldn't traditionally get within their curriculum. So I think this is really useful. And by incorporating other students as well, it gives the students a way to also teach, you know, fellow students these sorts of procedures. So it's really back and forth and kind of seeing what the public health aspect is related to nursing, PA, medicine, emergency response. And just a little bit on the triaging. So we've got the START triage table there, and again, just more from the tornado exercise and the victims there. They got all moulage, so they had makeup on and stuff. And so they got into it. It was right around Halloween, so it kind of worked out. So giving that sort of training and I think is really, really useful. And then with the hospital evacuations, which we've incorporated into our curriculum, we got this from, I believe his name's Ken Iserson. We actually communicated with the author of the particular paper in working to evacuate a hospital if something, you know, were to happen, whether it be a flood or tornado. And you can see kind of in this, here the parish line, that sort of white, little white thing with the orange belts around it. Not every hospital facility has these this sort of equipment, and it can be relatively expensive, even though it's really no more than a pizza box with belts. I mean, it's pretty flimsy. But what most hospitals do have are beds, and they have sheets. So what we used was really this two-sheet method that this author described. And so basically we're taking our patients out of their beds, putting them into sheets, and using them to transport the victims down stairwells, which you would pad with, you know, pads or things like that to help provide some protection, provide a walkway. And so every student that's going through our program is working to actually, you know, if they're needed to help in moving patients, this is a great way of doing it. Splinting. Enough said really with that. I mean, there's different methods. I mean, we've used, you know, water and the various, you know, tapes and things like that, but also, you know, just basic methods, just something rigid, maybe a piece of wood, tape, a belt. Same thing with tourniquets, that, you know, using a sock or a belt or hose or something like that. Just providing, again, basic support, you know, not critical support, but enough to at least help if something were to occur. We also even did some work with IOs, or intraosseous infusions, which again also a little bit different in terms of providing medication either directly with the needle or even with the drill, using a little drill to get the needle into the bone, which is pretty interesting. So these are other skills that they've learned. And as I mentioned before, airway management. So again, we've got students up in the upper left corner in medicine. We also have a physician there in the upper right who's teaching it, who also works now with the PAs, who taught me how to do the intubations. So if any of you need an intubation, I can do it. And then the bag valve masking as well. And this was what I mentioned before about the slit lamp. So that's up in the upper left-hand corner. You know, so you can imagine, obviously, if something were to occur and some debris was embedded into your eye, this was an interesting procedure, using this to, again, get up close to the eye. We've actually done some work in terms of the education aspect of using a hard-boiled egg and putting ground peppercorns in it and then using a dental pick as a way to get some practice into removing the, rather than use like a cow eye or something like that, it's fairly inexpensive. You can put the egg to the slit lamp and use a dental pick to try to remove. Yeah. If you're ever you're in a jam, there you go, dental pick and hard-boiled egg, and you know, very cheap, and you can practice that way. But it's a good way, you know, again, if you want to practice, you don't have the resources, a dozen eggs will cost you a couple bucks, and there you go. And so here's, yeah, more of our students just doing IB as well. And really, again, just the concept that, you know, again, public health professionals may not have all the medical skills, though we do have public health students that do have, you know, an MD or, you know, nursing degree or PA. But just to have a better understanding of what these sorts of skills entail and to be able to provide some sort of basic assistance when necessary. Overall, the students really enjoy it. They enjoy working individually as well as with groups and really kind of getting out of the traditional lecture and take multiple choice tests and things like that. This is, you know, it's immersive. They get into it. They're active and they learn it instead of just kind of the traditional bathtub memory where you teach the test and then you forget about it. So they really like it, and it's giving them more, again, practical skills that they can put on a resume and, you know, could be beneficial when it comes to acquiring a job. And so again, just kind of the conclusions is that, you know, as public health, that, you know, it's great that we can always say, you know, eat your fruits and veggies and exercise and all kind of the traditional stuff, but really we can be, you know, very active in doing stuff acutely as well in terms of the health and well-being of individuals. So this, again, is to provide some real practical skills training. And also what we've concluded is that these sorts of labs, while useful for our MPH students, can be really useful for, you know, even healthcare professionals who might be a little bit rusty, who haven't done some of these things in a while or are used to doing just, you know, X number of procedures. So it can be a kind of a refresher course, if you will, for other health professionals. And that's all I have. So thank you very much. This is literally just within the past 12 months, so we don't have enough data on that yet, but that's something we're going to do. And getting some of the information from some of the other people that I met with at the poster session, got some more ideas in terms of more on the certification side as well. So that's in the plans. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.